We hear again from the Old Testament reading of Genesis 32. That same night, Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." In the name of Jesus. What does God want you to do? That would make probably a popular sermon. Just preach about what God wants you to do. Preach it in a way that would make it seem like you can actually do it. And maybe everyone would be ready to pack the pews. The sermon could take off with saying that God wants you to live a more fulfilled life. Then would follow ways and methods to have a more fulfilled life, whatever that would mean. Then you would leave the pew ready to enter the week striving to accomplish the sermon. Or that God wants you to be a more effective Christian, a flame, a blaze, excited for the Lord, whatever all that would mean in real life. Then would follow a sermon on pathways to improving yourself, to getting better and better every day. And then you would go home ready to strive for improvement and progress. Or the sermon could be that God wants you to be more spiritual. Then could follow a talk about denying all the material things in this world so that your mind could drift up into the clouds and contemplate spiritual things, whatever that would mean. And you would then go out into the week striving to be more spiritual every day until you reach some spiritual nirvana or something. But all of it, whatever the sermon takes off telling you what God wants you to do, all of it has you striving for what you can be tomorrow or next week or next year. It's all striving, striving, and more striving, yet never getting there. Because with the law, you always have further to go. You can never live in the day because you're always worried about where you're going. Can't we just feel the anxiety, the despair over lost days, the distress of striving, a striving that never ends? What does God want you to do? So maybe we flip it around to what God wants to do toward us. He wants to make us more fulfilled, or to make us more effective, ablaze and on fire for the Lord, or to make us more spiritual. That does sound a little better. Now it's God doing the work. Surely we're better off with that. If it's going to be a sermon or sermon series about what God wants to do toward us, then we can title it something like Jesus Changes Lives. That sounds like grace, Jesus doing the work. Until we settle in and realize that we're no better off than before. For it's about what God will do, yet I'm still left sitting right where I am right now, looking for what I haven't done yet or haven't been brought to yet, but which maybe God will change in some tomorrow. I still can't live in the day because I'm still concerned about what I better be tomorrow. Jesus changes lives. It's still about putting me in motion so that what I have today is not yet good enough, but maybe I'll be changed into something better tomorrow. To live every day is not yet good enough, but waiting, striving for a change tomorrow, which I've never yet met or experienced in my life, but somehow I hope that I might at some day in the future. Can you feel the anxiety, the distress of never being able to quite get where you need to be? What does God want you to do? Genesis 32:26. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." We start out thinking about what God wants us to do to reach a potential tomorrow, or what God is doing to improve us into tomorrow's future. And then we find we're stuck in anxiety, never being able to have joy in just living in today. We start out that way because the law is written on our hearts, and we try to live and progress and improve things according to what ends up being the measurements of the law. What else is there? But then we see our Lord come to Jacob, and what? No instructions about how to improve yourself. No deep teachings about being more spiritual. No nonsense about how to be a Christian on fire or have your life changed. None of it. But a wrestling match. A wrestling match where the Lord comes in the form of a man to put himself in the position to be grabbed and grappled and held onto by a sinner, yet in which the Lord also gives no confusion about who has the power. The Lord has the power, not Jacob. Because after the Lord lets Jacob wrestle with him, the text says, when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Genesis 32:25. If the Lord, coming on this night in the form of a man equal to Jacob, had the power to touch Jacob's hip and put it out of joint, did the Lord not have the power to do that at the beginning of the match? Did the Lord not have the power to touch both Jacob's hip and put them both out of joint, and touch both his shoulders for that matter and put them out of joint, and might as well throw in the elbows and everything else too? Is there anything of Jacob's body that the Lord could not have ruined by touching it? Not even by touching it could the Lord not have ruined his whole body, Jacob's body, with just a word. The Lord has the power. Even Jacob knows that. But Jacob won't stop the match. He won't let go. He holds on to a man he knows is God in the flesh. Why? Does he not know that God can destroy him without even a second thought? Yes, Jacob knows it. He's not naive. But Jacob wants from God what God most wants to give. Jacob wants the blessing. Genesis 32:26. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The blessing. Jacob knows that. The blessing the Lord swore to Abraham, Jacob's grandfather, and swore to Isaac, Jacob's father. The blessing is the promise of the Savior to come in the lineage of Abraham. The blessing is the promise of all sin forgiven, of death defeated, of the crushing of the devil. The blessing is the word justifying the sinner, so that by faith in the promise, Scripture says, Abraham, Jacob's grandfather, was justified. And this blessing goes to Abraham's children, including Jacob, including along with them, you and me and our children. What does God want to do? God wants to bless the sinner. It's as simple as that. God wants to have the sinner hold on to him like a wrestler not letting go until the blessing is given. God wants the sinner not looking to some improved life later months down the road after much work. The sinner not striving for more spirituality or more effectiveness or whatever other measure of more the sinner comes up with according to the measurements of the law. But God wants the sinner living today, living in faith, living in the confidence that he, the sinner, is clean, and not tomorrow, but right now before God. He wants the sinner to be at peace in his conscience right now, the beneficiary of every good gift of grace and life right now. Not because of how the sinner has finally accomplished that and some potential down the road, but because God, the Lord of life, the Lord who came in the flesh on that particular day to wrestle with Jacob and later came in the flesh for good, for all days, to die on the cross for all sins. The Lord of life, Jesus, wants the sinner to know that, and he blesses the sinner. God wants the sinner to hear the blessing. So what does God want you to do? That's what the law is always going to have us asking, even putting it on each other. We need more law to improve our lives. What does God want you to do? Be done with the law, with its measurements, its seeming potential to lead to an improved Christian life. Be done with the law. Hold on to the gospel. Do not let go of the promise. When God comes in the flesh to you, say to your God, I will hold on to you for the blessing. When God comes to you and says, take and eat, take and drink, this is me, my body, my blood, for the forgiveness of your sins. Hear those words. It is God blessing you. He does not forget the blessing he swore to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.